Chairs No Waiting, episode number 362. Neil Brower interviews Bruce Bilson, 2011, part three. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the great Mayberry things they've got there. The Mayberry Trivia Book by Scott Hopkins. Great book if you enjoy asking trivia questions to one another. Great book, or if you just like answering them yourself. Also, go and check out Mayberry Postmarks. It's 10 different note cards with postmarks that have drawings on them from the Andy Griffith Show or similar to the Andy Griffith Show by Mike Johnson. You'd love them. WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. I want to thank you, and I want to thank all of our patrons who have supported this show. And one of those that I haven't mentioned at the beginning of the show for the last couple of weeks is Larry Granger. I want to thank him as the executive producer of episode number 362. He's one of the patrons at patreon.com of Two Chairs No Waiting. I want to invite you, if you enjoy the show and feel like it gets something out of it, head over to patreon.com and you can donate a dollar an episode or whatever you'd like to. We're up to $11.60 right now per episode. And that covers my hosting fees and stuff. So if you want to head over there, you can get there. And if you don't know how to get there, you just go to twochairsnowaiting.com. And when you get to the website, you can, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see a thing that says become a patron of Two Chairs No Waiting. And you can help support the show. You don't have to do that, but if you will, and if you feel like you should or could, I appreciate it. All right, folks, I'm Alan Newsom, by the way, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And this week, we're going to be continuing our series. This is part three of Neil Brower interviewing Bruce Bilson. Now, I was corrected by Paul Mulick, and he is 100% correct that I keep saying Billison. Now, I don't know where I'm getting those extra syllables in the words, but I am saying extra syllables. It's Bruce Bilson, like Wilson, Bruce Bilson, not Billison. But it is whatever it is. He is the associate director of the Andy Griffith Show, assistant director of the Andy Griffith Show. And it's definitely amazing because he began the series. He was right there at the beginning. So he knows all kinds of things. Now, last week, part two, we actually heard him talking about Andy and Don's chemistry, Ron Howard and Andy's relationship. Bob Sweeney, who was the director of the Andy Griffith Show, or one of the directors, a director there. And he also talked about renewing of the series and how that went, and General Foods, their relationship, and several other things. So if you didn't hear that, go back to last week's episode number 361, and check it out. But we don't want to keep things rolling rolling slow. Let's get things going now and go and hear part three. Now, last week they were talking about Bruce was in charge of the extras, and he called them his people. So that's where we're going to pick it up right here with Neil Brower and Bruce right here on the podcast. So thanks again for everybody, and here we go.
Well, let's see Bruce's gang in action. This is from Andy Saves Barney's Morale.
I may talk through this and talk about who the people are.
Back,
yeah, good to be back. Everything all right?
Right as rain, Sheriff. You didn't think I could handle her, did you? Come on, Andy, now tell the truth. You really didn't think I could do it, now did you? Now, did you? You doubting son of a gun?
Well, now, Barney, I got to admit there for a minute this morning I did have my doubts.
Well, what do you think now?
Well, everything looks mighty quiet.
See, I told you Barney Fife wouldn't let you down. I told you you were leaving this town in good hands.
Yeah, I must say.
Okay, there's my game. I'll try and point out a few people.
Well, no wonder it's quiet in town. The whole population's in here.
Yeah, like I promised you, Sheriff. Law and order's been kept in Mayberry this year, Dave.
That lady used to be in Westerns.
It's been kept more this year, Day, than all the other days put together. All right, now You got them packed in there like sardines in a can.
Well, you just swore me in as acting sheriff, not acting justice of the peace, so I couldn't try him, could I?
No. Well, I guess we better get the can openers and let them out so the ones in the back can start breathing again. Now, when I let you out, if you wouldn't mind, just line up in front of my desk over here, and I guess we can just try you right now. Hello, Harry. Miss Mary, how are you? Hello. Yeah. Hello, Judd.
How are you doing? Too fast.
Mayor,
Danny Thomas's brother, you'll see a lot.
How are you, Miss Johnson? How are you? Hello.
That lady is a stand-in.
Franklin, how are things at the bank?
That was a silent bit.
Hey, Nellie, it's a nice dress. Ain't B.
Oh, he's
that lady is a stand-in. Also,
that's all I'll say for him. Come along, Opie.
You didn't arrest Opie, too.
Well, I couldn't leave home alone, could I? Come along, criminal.
And that lady is Lucy's stand-in.
Hello there, Chester. Otis, how are you? You're looking good. What'd you do, dropping that on the whole town?
Just about.
The Andrew Griffith Show was shot with one camera, as Bruce shared with us just minutes ago, with no audience. The one camera allowed the crew and the cast to go on location, so they were not stuck only inside of a studio.
Can I say something about the last scene, because it occurred to me? Remember when the crowd all went, and we all laughed a little. What often is done with extras is what's called wild tracks. In other words, you do a scene where the actors have to talk and the extras have to mouth it because it would get into the soundtrack of the actors, or they just don't do a good job and you want more. Well, when Cecil B. DeMille was making the Ten Commandments and the scene was Moses coming down from the mount with the tablets, and he gathered the extras together because they hadn't been excited enough, and he exhorted them, I want you to yell, look who's coming, what has he got? It's Moses, he's coming, he's bringing the law, you know, and he says, I need excitement and I need it. And so they roll camera and everybody yelled and screamed and the microphones were out there picking them up, and they went in later to play it, and they heard the voices. Moses is out, and he's coming, and oh, look! And one voice suddenly cuts through and says, Jesus, it's Moses! So I wanted to share that with you. It's a favorite.
Remember that one. That was a good one. Well, the Andy Griffith Show was shot with one camera. This allowed the cast and crew to go on location. The interiors were shot at the Desilu studio. Most of the exterior scenes of the town were shot at 40 Acres, Culver City, the old MGM lot. And the opening where we see Lake and many of the wooded scenes were shot at the Franklin Reservoir. We're going to see an example of on-location shooting with an outdoor scene from The Jinx.
Oh, hi, Hope. Hi, Barn.
Hi, Andy.
How is everybody?
All fine.
Good.
You want to rub my head?
I want to what?
Go on, I'm a redhead, you know.
Why don't you run out and play, Hope?
What are you talking about?
I'm just hoping you take precautions against a jinx.
Where'd you learn that?
Oh, he probably picked it up somewhere, Sandy. You know how kids are. They're always picking things up. That's what they are. I'll see you.
Could it be he picked up this particular gem right here from you, maybe?
From me?
What you got behind your back there?
What?
Behind your back, right here, behind your back, behind your back. What's this?
I was just catching up on a little reading.
Signs, omens, portents, and charms to ward off bad luck. That's a catchy little title, ain't it? Now, Barney, I want you to stop this nonsense. Now, that's why I asked Henry Bennett to come fishing in our boat in the first place, was to stop this foolishness about him being a jinx. Now, we're going to catch just as many fish as we ever did, and I want you to stop your fretting and carrying on. And quit rubbing Opie's head.
One fish yet. I tell you, he's jinxing us.
Barney, quit.
And it ain't gonna hurt to try a few sands for things like this. Now, here, touch this rock.
Barney.
Here. Come, fish, come. Come, fish, come. Sands of the Cape with a frost of Cape. Come, fish, come.
The silliest thing I ever heard.
Shh. Here's another one. Fly away, buzzard. Fly away, crow. Way down south where the winds don't blow. Rub your nose and give two winks and save us from this awful jinx. Put that thing away right now.
Hey, Henry's going to... Look at your line! Quick! Look at that pole back! You got a big one! Andy, look!
I can't look right now. I'm busy.
But Andy...
Boy, look at the size of him.
He is a big one.
Boy, he sure is. About the biggest I've seen come out of this pond. Boy, you reckon folks will still call you a jinx, Henry?
I reckon not. Andy, will you hand me an oar?
What for? We ain't going anywhere.
Well, we'd better. We're sinking.
Now, before coming to Mount Airy, Bruce did some homework that he wants to share with us. And Bruce, tell us about this photograph and the others that you have.
Okay. To all three pictures, all three people who bought one of my pictures, I mentioned this, that I was going to discuss this. And that's okay. That's really not what I do for a living. There I am, okay? And I want to just show you who all these people are. The three in the boat you know about, and me you know about. Up here, that gentleman with the cap on is Sid Hickox, whose name you've seen on every episode as a cinematographer, director of photography. This gentleman, whose name I don't remember, is a grip. Grips are, their job is to move the camera and build things if the camera needs to be on them. Also, they throw shadows, and although they don't handle the lights, they do handle lighting with shadows and different pieces of equipment. And so this gentleman here has this, he's a grip, and he's got this little piece of whatever it is to keep the sun out of the eyes of the camera operator who's back in there with his eye on the camera. And this gentleman here is the first assistant cameraman, who is now sometimes known as the focus puller. And he's keeping the scene in focus. And this guy is my buddy Bob Sweeney. And this is Hazel Hall, the script supervisor. And this is Stoney, the key grip, because he's got the biggest belly. And this is, there's a piece of equipment there. This is keeping the reflection from the water out of the lens of the camera, okay? And this is the second assistant cameraman who's wondering why he has nothing to do. And this is the guy, I don't know who the hell he is. This is the boom man. See, there's the mic. He's got it on this pole, and when the camera's rolling, which it's obviously not, that mic will be right here picking up the dialogue. These gentlemen holding these are reflectors. They've got silver and gold foil on them, and they reflect the light. Obviously, the sun is over there somewhere, and so these reflect light into the scene, these. But this one, they couldn't get one of these that couldn't get the right angle on the sun, so they put that big arc there to light the scene. And then, I don't know what the hell I'm doing there, but I'm doing a really good job. So, that's that. Now, do we want to see the picture of Franklin Lake? Oh, okay. This is Franklin Reservoir as of last week. And it's pretty much as it was. And this is where we shot the opening. And those roads are still there. There's a lot more signs saying there are hiking trails through there now. I hadn't been there in a long time. What's interesting about this is the drinking water for Beverly Hills. It's in the hills, right above Beverly Hills. So when we worked around there, like to put a boat in there, it had to be, the bottom had to be scrubbed with chlorine. You had to be very careful, and it was very hard to work in the water there. There was a little sort of secondary pond. I was going to take a picture of that, but somebody was shooting a commercial there and trucks and equipment, and I just drove on by. Can we go to the next? Okay, this is where we work. This is the studio. And I found this picture on the internet, and then I went over there, and they had a better shot of it. So let me just tell you what was going on. This big building is stage one and stage two. You can see there are two doors there. This right there was where I Love Lucy was shot. Okay? And next door here, that little shake means that my heart is still beating. Stage two, when I started working at Desi Lu, was Our Miss Brooks, which was a very successful show many years ago. And then later was Dick Van Dyke shot there. That was their home. This little stage here, now I have to explain that those two stages and these four stages were all three camera shows. And that means they put in this incredibly smooth concrete floor so the cameras on dollies could roll around while the shows, the actors were, they would do the scenes like doing a play. And the cameras had marks on the floor and they would move around, and that's how those shows were shot. So this studio, which had all those floors, and then each one had audience, you know, bleachers and an entrance somewhere for audience to be brought in. But this little stage, stage seven, we did Wyatt Earp there. I worked there, and then I worked there again on a show called Whirly Birds. So this was a little stage that was a one-camera stage, and it's bigger than it looks right there. Here is three and four, the Andy Griffith Show. That's where we shot. Right over there is the gate, the entrance that we're going to talk about. Tiny at the Gate was right there, right? And you see the size of those doors. I'll talk about the police car a little later and bringing it in and out. Then over here, this was Danny Thomas, and this was Red Skelton. This was a show called December Bride, and this was I Don't Remember. But when I went over there, and over here, and you're going to see a picture, see this little building? That was the entire corporation of Desi Lu, with all that they did, was that little building right there. And there was another gate right here, which was the front gate where Harry was the guard. And the commissary was in here. We'll talk about that. And the people who run it now were so excited to hear about when we were there. And then all of a sudden I remembered that these two stages, we did Hogan's Heroes. And I did 24 of those, so I was at that lot a lot. Well, okay. And What else? Oh, see this little house right here? That's the house that Rance Howard rented and where Ronnie Howard lived, at least for the first two seasons. So he was that close to the studio, could come up and go in that gate, go around the corner, come through this gate and go to work and have a swing set in his yard. I'll show you a picture of it now. It's a little post-production house or something. Okay, the commissary. First of all, Andy went to Daly's, which is to look at yesterday's work at lunchtime in a projection room, twice. He said, I'm not doing that. I hate what it looks like. A lot of actors hate to see Daly's, and a lot of actors love to. Andy didn't like it. So we ate in the commissary, Don and Andy and Bob Sweeney and I. And then one day in the commissary, Danny Thomas walked in, walked by Andy, patted him on the back and said, there's my little moneymaker. And we never ate in the commissary again. There was a restaurant right over there somewhere. Okay, could we go to another? Okay, here's the entrance to the studio as it is today. And you notice it says Red Studios. There's a company that makes a very high-resolution, super-duper digital movie camera that's also sells at a good price that's being used more and more in film production instead of film. And they're successful enough that they bought this studio. Next. This is where Desi and Lucy were. Their stage was right over there. And this is where they could come out and get a little sunshine and so on. The entire outfit was in this little building. You know, her brother, Lucy's brother, always came around on payday and handed out the checks. Publicity was in that building and a bunch of people that I didn't know very well. Next. So this is... Oh, there's the crane. This is stages 1 and 2. You see, this is the building I just showed you where Lucy had their offices, doors back there, stage right there. Now you kind of see the size of the doors. You get a better idea of the size of these buildings. And that building back there didn't belong to them at all. That was something else. Okay, next. This is 3 and 4. This is where we worked. That's the gate. Can you see? The Lillian Way Gate, as it was called. And you see the size of the doors. So when we started the show, if we shot outside and the police car was outside the sheriff's office, when we came to the stage, if we were going to see the door open, we needed to open that door, get the backing up out of the way, which had a painting of a photographic thing of Mayberry on it, from across the street, and bring the car in and get it past all the, move all the equipment to get it in, and then light it, and then put the backing back down, and then it could come through the door. So that didn't sit very well with me, so I had a full-size blow-up made of the car, full-size photograph, black and white, put it on a piece of plywood, put a couple of cables on it, up, bring in the car, boom, done. Okay? And those are the kind of things. Somebody, I don't know if they're here, said, I was looking at, to me yesterday, I was looking at it the other day, and I said, wait a minute, back up. That doesn't look like a real car out there. Well, tough. Okay, next one. This is the back gate, the Lillian Way Gate. This is as it is today. And of course, this is the stage right here, stage 3 and 4. And let's see the next one. Yeah, this is how it was. This I got from those people at the studio. Said Desi Lu, tiny at the gate, we're right there. Every day.
Now, Bruce, would this be where the actors would go in?
We all did. We did not park on the lot. It was a very small lot. And across the street from this was parking, and that's where we all parked. Next. This is a picture I found. My son found it. I don't even remember it, and I'm sorry it's out of focus. But that's me, and I think you know who that is. That's another guy, Don Knotts. This is Ronnie, and that's Aaron Rubin. And you can see we had just given him a Christmas present, and I don't know what the hell it was. But he... Does anybody? But he's really interested in it. And that's the end of the photographs.
Thanks. That's Aaron's office.
Oh, that... Yeah, this was Aaron's office. And you can see some of the pictures on the wall. There's Howard, there's Don. There's that thing that was in one of the early shows where the bad guys spotted Don's picture with the jailbreak. Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Anyhow, pretty good. I just admired myself being young. Okay, thank you.
All right, folks. Hey, I hope you guys are enjoying this. Now, if you are listening to the audio version of the podcast, I want to encourage you, if you hadn't already figured it out, you really need to see the video of this, because during the entire presentation, he's using a laser pointer and pointing out items on the screen, and you can see photos and images that he's talking about, and seeing it makes it even that much better. It's so much fun to hear. But if you actually see it, it's even better. So I want to encourage you to head over to twochairsnowaiting.com, look for episode number 362, and watch the video that's related to this episode, because it is amazing. I want to thank once again, I want to thank Neil Brower for allowing me to use this information here on the podcast. I want to thank Neil and Pat Coleman for providing the video and the audio that you're hearing for this series of episodes. And I want to thank all of you guys for being here. Now, the last several weeks, I've been asking folks to give me information about what were their favorite five episodes of Two Chairs, No Waiting. So after we start heading out of here, we're going to go into that and then go straight out of the episode tonight. I want to thank Tim for calling in and leaving this feedback for us all. So I want to thank him. I would love to hear from you. If you'll give me a call at 888-684-8415, I would love to hear your thoughts about these episodes. And also maybe your top five favorite episodes of Two Chairs, No Waiting. I'd like to have your voice. So give me a call at 888-684-8415. And folks, until next week, I'll join you right back here. Let's hear from Tim, and then we will be dismissed. So have a great Mayberry week. And Tim, take us away.
Hey, Alan, this is Tim. I'll just call him to give you my five favorite episodes. Now, I couldn't go through the whole list, so I'm going to hold it down to last year or this year, 2015. So these are my top five. First one is 335, Myers Lake Revisited. 350, Who is Gomer? 338, Mayberry Meetup. 326, Remember James Best. Now, number five actually covers several podcasts, but I think I could clump it into one. And I just want to call it the various cast interviews that you and Neil Brower have done in the past. Those are really a lot of my favorites. Enjoy those very much. But even the originals that you come up with, you can't beat them. Keep doing what you're doing. We love it. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Folks, we'd love to hear from you. Like I said, give me a call at 888-684-8415 or email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Until next week, have a great Mayberry week.